Paul, or rather what David made reference to in Psalms 46 and verse 1, where that David made the statement that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I know that from time to time that we have troubles in this life. Is it strange that we should have troubles? Is it strange that we should have sickness or harm come to us or our families? We know that the answer to that is no, it's not strange nor uncommon. Because that everyone that lives in the flesh is going to have some trouble and trials in their life. The Bible makes me to understand that our faith is a shield which would help us to overcome our trials. We know that many times things would perhaps take us down were it not for the fact that we believe in God and we believe in Christ. And we realize that our future does not remain in this world. Our future is built on something greater. As the song says, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. That's what our hope and our future and faith is built on. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10 on through verse 12, the Apostle Paul, and we know that he was a very educated man, we know that he was one that was called for the ministry by Jesus Christ Himself. Now, this was a special calling because Jesus had already come in the flesh. He'd already lived. He'd already died, was buried, and rose again. We read in Acts chapter 1 where that He went back to heaven and was seated upon the right hand of the throne of God. Then afterward, we see Jesus Christ appearing to the Apostle Paul and called him to be an apostle. So Paul must have been a very special man. And of course we know that Paul wrote more of the New Testament than any other single author. Paul made more missionary journeys than we have recorded for any other person. Paul labored and did more. When you read the New Testament, it would fail us to find someone that worked any harder and done any more for the work of the church than the Apostle Paul. Yeah, listen to what Paul said. In verse 10, Paul says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." He says, "You've known my manner of life. You've known my purpose. You've known my faith. You have known my long suffering. You have known my charity. And you've known my patience." But then in verse 11, look what happens to Paul. Now, Paul is an outstanding individual working for the Lord. He's got good doctrine. He's got a good manner of life. He's got a good purpose. He's got strong faith. He's long-suffering to Godward. He's full of charity and love, and he's full of patience. But then we notice that verse 11 begins by saying persecutions. Well, where do these come from? Well, it's a part of life, children. That's what it is. Persecutions and afflictions, Paul said. Where are they coming from? Why are they happening to Paul? Well, because Paul's living in the flesh, and Paul is one that's been guilty of sin, and he's facing the consequences of sin in the world, just like you and I do today. "Which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra." What persecutions, he said, I endured. "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me," Paul said. Was there any of those persecutions or any of those afflictions that Paul wasn't able to get deliverance from? Absolutely none. Paul said, "They came, but the Lord delivered me out of them all." And then in verse 12, he concludes by saying, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions." Get ready for them, children. They're coming. Those that would live godly in Christ Jesus, they're going to happen to us. There's going to be financial troubles. There's going to be home troubles. There's going to be troubles in school. There's going to be troubles at home. There's going to be troubles with sickness. There's going to be troubles with death. But Paul says that out of all of these, God can and will deliver His children. Every one of them. Look at Noah.
Now think about the persecution. You think about the affliction that Noah had. Noah knew that a terrible flood was coming. And he knew that that terrible flood was coming because of sin that was in the world. While he was a righteous man, and God said that he was, yet what did he have to do? Well, he worked real hard for a long period of time just to build an ark so that he and his family could be saved. But children, you think about the example of Noah. Even though that he was a righteous person, he had to work to overcome sin. He knew that the storm was coming. Yet the only way that he could overcome the sin and overcome the storm was to do what the Lord asked him to do. Look at David. David was a man after God's own heart. God said that he was. David was the second king of Israel. David was the one that gathered all together to build a house for the Lord. Yet David had a little boy that got really sick, didn't he? David's little boy that he would hold in his arms and hold up to his bosom and his breast. Think about your little sons and your little daughters. David had one of these. Yet David's little boy got real sick. And David didn't eat much. And David got afflicted in his heart and in his soul because of this little boy. And David prayed to God, and David asked God for help concerning this little boy. But it wasn't God's will. And the little boy dies. Surely something better would have happened to David and his little boy. God was in control, and God knew what he was doing. And so when David found that his little child had died, he didn't sit around and feel sorry for himself and give up on life. He washed his face, he went in and ate, and he thanked God, and he continued to live. Look at Job. Job, the Bible says, and Job is even given to us today as an example of patience. Job was one that was a person that was right with God. The Bible makes it plain that Job belonged to God. Yet have you ever read or known of anyone that suffered like Job did? Why would such a thing happen? Children, it's called the trial of faith. That's what it's called. You talk about a person that is so sick. You talk about a person that is so inundated with sickness, and his body deteriorates to the point that he shaves the boils with flint. One that's covered from the top of his head to the soles of his feet with boils and sores, and can't find help when he lays down, can't find rest when he sits up, can't find rest when he stands up. His every waking hour is full of misery and pain and torment, but he was one of God's. Even though he struggled to find an answer, Job didn't understand what was happening to him. But he understood one thing, that God was in control and God was righteous. And even though Job couldn't find an answer, why is this going on in my life? Why am I afflicted like that I am? Why have I lost my sons and daughters? Why have I lost my health? I've done nothing amiss. Even his friends turned their back upon him and say, surely there is some major sin in your life. Yet Job couldn't find the answer. But he didn't blame God. He never blamed God, and he never blamed others. He patiently endured this lot in life, what it was that he was given. And he went on day by day trusting and believing in God. And we find that his last end was better than the beginning. Take a look at Moses. Moses was a man that spent his entire life trying to help an entire nation flee bondage and find liberty in a new nation. Can you think of the many things that Moses denied himself of? Can you think of the many hardships that Moses had, the heartaches that he had when he saw the people sin? Moses, the great leader of this nation, trying to lead them towards Canaan, trying to lead them in respect of God's wishes and God's power, God's desires for them as a nation, yet to see them turn their back upon God, even going so far as to pray that God would forgive their sin, and if not, to blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. His life was a type of that of Christ. Look at Joseph. Joseph was one that his own family turned their back upon him and sold him away into a foreign nation. Children, what would that be like today if our family sold us into bondage to a foreign nation? Yet Job didn't give up on life. Job didn't give up on God. Job continued to believe. Job held his integrity when he was enticed by the wife of Potiphar. He didn't sin. Yet he was cast into prison just the same. But he realized that his life meant something greater, not only to himself, but to an entire nation of people, to preserve their seed. These people were righteous people that God used to benefit His purpose. Yet there was affliction and trial and trouble in their life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "We are troubled on every side." And you think about, you're standing facing the north and there's trouble there. You turn to the west and there's trouble there. You turn to the south and there's trouble there. You turn to the east and there's trouble there. Which way do you go? Well, in your mind and in your heart and your faith, you go to God. The Apostle Paul says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Paul says, "We are perplexed, but not in despair." Paul says, "We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." Let's think for a few moments of time about what the Apostle Paul is saying. Paul, being an educated man, is making a play on words. And Paul is making the people to understand there is trouble, yet there's an escape. There's affliction, but it won't consume me. Paul says we are troubled, but not distressed. Troubled means afflicted and pressed. Now you put the little garlic into the garlic press and what happens? You just smash it down, juice comes out, the bulb is mashed into a little pulp. Paul says that's what it's like to be troubled. Paul says we are afflicted and pressed. Yet he says we are not distressed. And distressed means we are not exhausted or tied down with toil and labor. Paul says, "Though I am troubled, I am not exhausted." Now, children, today, if we rely on ourselves, we'll get exhausted. But if we rely upon the Lord and rely upon His church and upon His Word, Paul says we can be troubled, yet it will not exhaust us. 2 Corinthians 1 and 8, he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed," Paul says, "out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now children, I don't know that you can get any worse than that. You remember what Paul said to those at Philippi? Paul said, "For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Well, what about it, Paul? He says, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." So Paul made up his mind that as long as God graced him with life here, he's going to just keep right on doing the Lord's will. He's not going to give up. He's not going to get exhausted. And when the Lord calls him, then he's going to be better for it. In Acts 16 and 24, we see where that Paul, along with his comrade Silas, was thrust into the inner prison and their feet made fast in the stocks. Now, what crime did they do? Had they murdered someone? Had they taken something from someone? Had they done some heinous crime? What were these men guilty of? Telling the truth. They were guilty of standing up for the Lord. Well, what are we going to do? Here we are with Paul and Silas. We've been to a gospel meeting and we've preached the gospel and we've stood up for the Lord. The magistrates come and get us. They put us into the innermost prison. They put our feet in the stocks. We're in there where the rats and the bugs are. And there's nothing much to eat. All the very bad criminals all around us. Are we going to despair? Are we going to give up? How are we going to react to this situation? Well, the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto the Lord, and the prisoners heard them. Sounds like they were happy to be able to praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is under trial. Have you ever been under trial for anything? Now, I can't say that I have. But I do know that if I was... charges were brought against me and I had to go before the magistrate or the judge, that'd be pretty serious. Particularly knowing that these men and these women have the authority to take my liberty and my freedom away. Well, here Paul is. He's on trial. And he's talking to the king. What did he talk about? Let me go. Is that what Paul said? No. Did Paul give the king money that he so eagerly wanted so that he might turn him loose? No. What did Paul do? Well, he continued to do the things that got him in trouble in the first place. He preached to the king. For the king knoweth of these things, Paul says. Before him also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Now he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He says, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Second Thessalonians 1, 6 and 7, Paul says this about those that are troubling us. He says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Those that bring trouble in this world are going to answer for that. Those that cause affliction in this world is going to answer for that. Those that patiently endure to the end, Jesus said the same should be saved. Paul says we're perplexed, but not in despair. By perplexed, Paul says we are at a loss for a way. Now remember, he said we're troubled on every side, and now we're at a loss for a way. We're troubled everywhere, and we don't know where to go, Paul said. We are at a loss for a way in perplexity. But he says we are not in despair. And disparity means utterly without a way. So even though Paul said, I don't know what the way is that's going to get me out, I don't know which direction to turn, I know there is a direction to go in. And I'm going to allow the Lord to lead me into that. He says, I'm at a loss on how to proceed, but I know that I will proceed. Now, children, that's good advice for us today. We might not know exactly what the future holds. We might not know exactly where to go and where to turn. But we know that we can go and we can turn in a righteous manner. Philippians 1:20, Paul says, according to my earnest expectation of my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, or I know not, Paul said. Paul says the thing about it is, there may be perplexity, there may be despair, there may be trouble, there may be affliction, but my life is going to magnify Jesus in this world. And he says if God chooses that magnification takes place by my living, then that's fine. If God chooses that magnification takes place by me dying, that's fine. But my life is going to magnify and push forward Christ. Children, that's what we need to do. Paul says, I'm in a loss for a way, but he says, I know that there is a way. Paul said that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I keep pressing. Sometimes it feels like I'm not making any headway. Sometimes it feels like I'm not making any progress. But I keep pressing. And I'm pressing in the right direction. I'm pressing towards God through Christ. Paul said, we are persecuted but not forsaken. Now, persecuted means pursued or driven away. That's what it means. If you're persecuted, someone is pursuing you or something is pursuing you and driving you away from what your goals and desires are. That's the influence. Paul said we're persecuted or we are pursued or driven away, but he says we're not forsaken. And forsaken means left behind or abandoned. So Paul says, even though someone's pressing us away and pushing us away, we're not alone in this. I'm not alone. I'm not left behind. I'm not abandoned. Reckon who it was that's with him. Why, it's the Lord. And it's the Lord's people. And it's the Lord's Word which leads and guides Paul's life and dominates his thinking and his actions. So Paul's not left behind or abandoned. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, you recall what Stephen said? This is what was happening to Stephen. Stephen was preaching a gospel message. And Stephen was trying to tell these people how that they had forsaken God's covenant and God's law under the Old Testament, and yet he brought something better for them under the new. And yet then he had to go far enough to say, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, he said. And he says, they have slain them which shewed before of the coming of the Holy One, or the Just One. He says, who have received, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. This is the type of people that Stephen was fighting with. And Paul was fighting with on a daily basis. You think maybe these people were persecuting Stephen while they took his life? You think maybe these people were persecuting Paul? Well, certainly they did. But do you think these people were ever left behind or abandoned by the Lord? Stephen, when he was dying, he said he saw the heavens open and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. So even when those around him were taking his life, Jesus was there saying, Stephen, I recognize what's going on. And Stephen said, I recognize my Lord. Paul says we are cast down, but not destroyed. Now, cast down means weakened. If you're on this plane and you're cast down, your position is weakened. You're in a weakened position if you're cast down. Paul says we're cast down or weakened, but we're not destroyed. Now, destroyed means ruined. He says it's ruined or a loss of well-being. So he says though our position is weakened, yet we're not at a loss for our own well-being. 2 Corinthians 7:5, Paul says, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Maybe there was trouble all around you, or maybe a worry or doubt or fear or something in your life. And Paul says, when we came into Macedonia, our flesh couldn't rest. But we were troubled on every side, he says. Without were fightings, within were fears. You ever been in a situation where you was fighting so hard to keep your head above water, but at the same time you was afraid about what's going to happen next? That's what Paul was dealing with. And Paul says when he had to deal with that, it weakened him. Why? Well, when you're having to fight the devil and fight everything in the world, then it's kind of hard for you to preach the gospel and advance the truth at the same time. Paul says, so therefore our position and what we intended to do was weakened. Because the efforts that we would put forth into preaching and teaching Christ and going and ministering the gospel, we had to take some of that energy and some of that time and put it into fighting all these troubles and persecutions. But, he says, at the same time, our cause and purpose wasn't ruined. And our purpose of life and our well-being wasn't compromised. 2 Corinthians 7:6, the very next verse, Paul says, nevertheless God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. You know, children, what it amounts to is we need to see God's blessings in the very simple things of life. Paul could have been like the Israelites and looked for the Messiah to come down and rid them of their nation and cast his throne up and erect it before the people and to take control of the government and cast these persecutors out. Didn't happen that way, did it? You know what comforted Paul when he saw a brother in Christ that came to be with him? And many times that's all that it takes sometimes when we have troubles and persecutions and trials is to see a fellow brother or sister that's laboring to come and be with you. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says in verse 24 of the Jews. Now Paul was a Jew, wasn't he? He wasn't a Gentile. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. He had good bloodstock, didn't he, when it came to the rulers in Israel. But Paul says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Why did all this happen to Paul? Because he was a bad man? Did all these things happen to Paul because he was a politician that didn't follow through with his agenda? Did all these things happen because he was a Gentile and the nations of Israel didn't like him? None of those things. These things happened to Paul because he was what? He was a Christian. He was a child of God living in amongst a sinful and a wicked generation that Jesus described as being serpents. Philippians 4:10 is a good bit of advice for us. Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, where you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He's talking to the Philippians now. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. What have you learned, Paul? I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Well, what about it, Paul? Why is it that you have learned these things? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Paul said. Children, as long as we live in the flesh, there's going to be troubles. There ain't no getting out of it. So while we live here, let's don't give up on God. Let's don't give up on the church. Let's don't give up on ourselves. Let's press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. The best way to do that is read your Bible and study it every day. Talk to your Heavenly Father in prayer every day. Go to the assembly and be a part of the church and work to do righteousness in the community. Serve the Lord without fear. And then God will reward you both here and in life everlasting. Yeah, there's troubles, but there isn't anything that we can't overcome. For those that may be troubled tonight, if there's a way that we can help you as a church of our Lord, if you're outside of the ark of safety, you need to come forward and be baptized into Jesus for the remission of sins. If not, the Bible says, where I am, there you cannot come. If you're a child of God that needs our prayers, come forward and make that known as together we sing.